brings a person to the highest level of faith and nobility. To have ikhlas is to avoid all wrong intentions that pollute a person's thoughts and actions. In describing the pure servants of God, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, one of their prominent features is that they have purified themselves for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted their khulus or purity. Moreover, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Jibra'il brought him a writing in which it was written, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as his messenger from the blessed tree and purified him. These two hadith indicate that sincerity is a crucial characteristic of pure servants, and even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected his prophet for this feature of him.
Ya Rabbana salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi
sallallahu alayhi
salli ala
According to the Holy Book of Quran and the Hadith, to have ikhlas is to turn your back to all wrong intentions that pollute and devalue man's deeds. Even a deed done out of fear of hell or out of interest in paradise is considered by some hadith as a deed with no ikhlas, since the fear and interest have non-divine roots and vary greatly from a purified intention. The only deed that possesses highest level of ikhlas is a deed done only out of a love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for the sake of his pleasure. When Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi declares that Muslims should uprise and act for the sake of their Lord, I, as a follower of this great character, interpret it in this way that ikhlas is a very important feature for such servants. Okay, that was it. I hope you have enjoyed it. And until another episode, I bid you farewell and may Allah protect you all.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
History of the Palestinian Resistance.
Part 1.
What is the history of the Palestinian Resistance? Why did the Lebanese divide themselves, and after them the Arabs? How did the heart of the resistance soar between cycles of boom and dust until it revived the hopes of the people in defeating the Israeli project? May 14, 1948. The announcement of the so-called Israeli state executed under Resolution No. 181 constituted a crucial point in Lebanon's modern history. It was the obligation of Lebanon, a founding country of the Arab League, to respond to the decision by the Arab League of Countries to form an army which would stop the partition of Palestine. Lebanon participated in the Israeli-Arab War of 1948 with illegal brigades, which consisted of rebellious recruits who worked within the framework of a rescuing army, as is written in the diaries of Emil Bustani.
Side by side with the Lebanese army, the recruits fought at the fence of the Zionist settlements to try to liberate Lebanese villages, which were besieged and the people persecuted by the Zionists. Some of the recruits, who were mostly Lebanese and Syrians, were unarmed and inexperienced.
A nationalist feeling grew. There was a plan intended to erase Palestine from the political map of the Oriental Arab world. That led to Maruf Saad in Saida to constitute an emergency committee to back the revolutionaries in liberating Palestine. The results of the war in 1948 were settled before its end with secretly signed agreements between King Abdullah, the governor of East Jordan, on one side, and the Zionist movement in Britain on the other side, with the intention of dividing Palestine according to Resolution 181.
I'd like to clarify that I warned the American Foreign Minister, George Marshall, that the British sergeants that were working in the Arab Brigade had no right to accept orders, which put them in conflict with Israeli forces as long as the matter concerned the safety of the lands of Israel.
Lebanon, and specifically southern Lebanon, has suffered grave consequences as a result of the Nakba, the catastrophe. Some 140,000 Palestinians packed meager belongings and headed to their brothers in southern Lebanon, fleeing from the terrorist gangs of the Zionists to settle down in a local, regional, and a more protected environment. In contrast to what was happening, a Lebanese political party emerged that criticized those in the opposition to the Zionist enterprise. This party reared its head at the beginning of the Kamil Shamoun reign in 1952. Israel exploited these divisions, which reflected weakness in the unity of Lebanon, and likewise the failure of the Arabs to achieve Israel's geographic, economic, and political ambitions. On August 7, 1948, a few months after its establishment, the Israeli army commanded its military to occupy the Lebanese border village of Yaran, killing four of the youth of Yaran in the process. The village of Hula, situated 2 kilometers from the Lebanese border, witnessed the second most horrifying massacre after Deir Yassin. Notable journalist Rafiq Nasr Allah had not been born yet, but the story of his father's survival of this massacre has been seared on his memory. Rafiq was a man who had no chance of knowing any of his aunts or uncles. The aim of the massacre was to uproot the remaining people from their border villages and direct them to abandon their homes, as the Palestinians did. Five months after the massacre of Hula, military talks ended with a signed truce between Lebanon and Israel on the 23rd of March 1949 on the Greek island of Rhodes. The goal of the truce was to isolate Lebanon and block it from being involved in the Arab Zionist conflict. The content of the truce was agreed upon by George Marshall of the U.S. and Musa Shertok and Eliyahu Epstein from the Jewish Agency. The The agreement acknowledged the right of the resistance, which was comprised of Arab recruits and Palestinian fighters, and was recognized by the illegal forces. This was an excellent opportunity for the Lebanese to compensate the disequilibrium with Israel. But instead, they quickly sent the recruits to their homes due to a local dispute around the benefit of the truce. The Israeli army exploited the truce to build war fortifications facing the Lebanese villages from Al-Nakura to Sheba Farms. 12 years separated the occupation of Palestine and the birth of Degol Abu Tas, the elder of the Ramesh border village. He was named by his father after Degol, the leader of the French Revolution, the liberator of Paris from the Nazis. The geographical proximity of Ramesh with Palestine and southern villages like Bint Jebel witnessed the different phases of confrontations as well as the political modifications in Lebanon. In the autumn of 1958, former Major General Fuad Shahab was elected as a consensus president to the Lebanese Republic after a compromise between the United States and Egypt. On March 25, 1959, a dual summit joined the two presidents Fuad Shahab and Gamal Abdel Nasser at El Musnab border point in Lebanon. At the summit, Fuad Shahab announced openly that Israel was the national enemy of Lebanon and that Lebanon would be among the frontline resistance countries. Less than 2 months after the Musnab summit, Israel accelerated its assaults on Lebanon, violating the conditions of the truce agreement. In the summer of 1959, 3 Lebanese passenger planes were dragged successively into Israeli airports for investigation of the passengers on board. One of those planes was carrying United Nations employees. A new development unfolded on April 13, 1960, and before the Musnad decisions were realized. The controversial convictions towards the Palestinian resistance augmented a political clash which caused a very risky turn on the eve of the Israeli preparation for June's war. The dispersed Palestinians were optimistic about the outcome of this new Arab-Israel war, and so they started to prepare, hoping for a return to their homeland. But bad news arrived promptly. The Arab armies were defeated. Immediately, the Triple Alliance, Pierre Gamayel, Raymond Ed, and Camille Chamoun, requested the abandonment of the confrontation strategies against Israel. The sharp split in the reaction of the Lebanese people concerning the Arab setback allowed the Phalangists, the Christian Phalange Party, to benefit from the defeat of the Arabs and change the internal makeup, while other Lebanese groups were preparing their warriors to face the threat of Israel. The repetitive assaults from Israel did not move the Lebanese government to take the necessary measures in order to protect its southern citizens. The pragmatic move to form a Lebanese resistance was adopted directly by Imam Musa al-Sadr, that was applauded by a great number of the Lebanese people. Journal reports started to talk about the intention of Israel to augment the internal conflicts in Lebanon in order to divide it and oust it from the circle of Arab Zionist confrontation, synchronized with other developments in the region.
And after 67, early 70s, there was Israeli pressure on King Hussein. They told King Hussein, you are the sovereign, you are the king, you are the state. You should stop the Palestinian activity from. And eventually, under this pressure, because he felt threatened from the Palestinians, he moved against them, Black September.
On September 15, the Jordanian army launched a full-on attack against the strongholds of the Palestinian guerrillas to defeat and oust them from the entire kingdom. What followed was a quick sequence of events. Abdel Nasser died while he was negotiating to stop the Jordanian-Palestinian clashes. Anwar Sadat took over the rule in Egypt, and Hafez al-Assad seized power in Syria after the corrective movement's coup d'etat in the country.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islam my deen. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet. Praise be upon. I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome back, dear listeners, to IRIB English Radio. We're once here again. This is Youth Station, and I am Bita, and you're with me.
And this is Sayyid Mustafa. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, the pleasure is mine to be here. You know, before coming here today, I called some of my friends and asked them this question, that what is the best quality you've inherited from either of your parents?
Okay.
And the answers was really various, you know. And
okay.
I was wondering how, for example, different people can have this different perspective on life and blessings that they have. You know, it varied from the financial IQ that they had, their appearance, and even the money that their parents lived them for.
Of course, yeah, money, left for inheritance. Them.
And it was really beautiful for me to hear the answers. And today, I'm all ear for your answer to this question.
So I might maybe give a slightly different answer in the sense that I've mentioned this repeatedly, but I just want to say this again. I'm studying psychology, right? And part of that is that one of the areas that I've focused on is parenting. Because I have two kids of my own.
Yeah.
Okay, my son is almost 10. My daughter is almost 7 years old. And the reason why I ended up going so heavily into parenting is because I was a terrible parent. And I'll tell you the reason behind why I was a terrible parent. I might be trying to be kind on my own, right? But if you don't know the skills or the requirements of what you need to do with a certain child at a certain age, you can make mistakes. Right? I didn't realize I was making mistakes. To give you an example, I would get angry maybe in situations where I shouldn't get angry. I was interfering in my siblings fighting maybe when I shouldn't have.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into too many details because it will take a long time. But the question is, you know, what's the best inheritance, you know, that we can receive from our parents? I feel the best thing that I can give my children is love and respect.
Yeah.
Okay? I think those are the best qualities I can give.
Those are principles for sure.
Not only that, in terms of practical behavior, right? Yeah. If I deal with my kids with love and respect and I become best friends with them, this is the best thing I can give them, because that will establish a relationship with them for the rest of our lives, right?
Yeah.
Think about if you're a parent and you have a bad relationship with your child. Are you going to be able to give them a true, like, let's say, no matter how much money you're going to give them.
Yeah, yeah. I saw many examples of these kind of families
and
my friends that their parents gave them money and only just to shut them off, you know, and to make them silent in order not to nag about the lack of love that they felt in their homes. And because of that, I know this example by my heart. And this is really nice. But the question here is that, did you get this love and respect from your own parents too?
Alhamdulillah, they're still alive. I have very good parents.
Yeah.
You know, they did always actually treat me with love and respect, you know.
Yeah.
But I would say that, you know, we're all human beings, right? We can't expect our parents to be
perfect. For sure
perfect.
They're
definitely going to be making mistakes with us. And like every parent, my parents also made mistakes, like I'm making with my kids.
Yeah.
My point is, in today's day and age, though, like, if, like, inshallah, you're going to become a parent in the future, there's going to be other youth listening to this. The age that I grew up in is different.
Yeah, yeah. Right? The generation is different.
The generation is different. Like, for my parents, I would say it was a lot easier to be that way. Today, why are so many parents? It's a crisis. I don't know if you realize
it.
It's a crisis, right? So many parents are facing a huge issue with their kids, or kids are facing with their parents.
You know, it reminded me of this sentence that you are the children of those parents for the first time, and they're parents of you for the first time too.
Right.
Give them the chance to make mistakes.
Yeah.
And I think we have to go for a break. Then
yes,
we're going to come back and talk more about the crisis of parenting.
All right.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Okay, so we're back. And I was just saying that we were talking about why today there is a crisis in parenting, right? And the topic is, you know, what is the best thing that we can inherit from our parents? Is that relationship is the best thing we can inherit.
This was a unique answer, you know, that I get from among all these people. This relation is really something that is not going to repeat in everybody. It's only one chance in everybody's life. And this is exactly the same for me too. I learned many things from my parents, and the best thing that I've inherited from them is the time that I've spent with them. The times that we were sitting together in the garden, I don't know, drinking tea, the times that I was helping my mother to cook a dish, whatever. These little things together are the best heritage that I have from them, I think.
You're right. And if we don't spend that time well, by the way, you know, so that time that you're spending, the idea is you're creating good memories, right? You're creating positive memories. But what if it was not positive memories?
It's going to be a disaster.
It's bad, right? It's
going
to create that. It's not going to have a good impact on the relationship. So I was saying, for today's youth, for today's parents as well, the best way for you to deal with, if you have any issues like these, like with your parents or your siblings, is to learn, is to spend time learning how to deal. For example, I'll give you an example. Like, I had a friend who was having problems with their mother, right? Their mother is really old.
Yeah.
And she's like, she's had a lot of sicknesses, and she's not the same person she was when she was obviously younger, right? So how do you deal with an old parent who's, for example, cranky and who's maybe
it's
shouting?
It's really difficult, huh? I think. It's a really difficult task, you know?
Yeah.
And one of the crises that you actually counted in this episode, I don't know why are we going through all these crises. And it's really difficult because you expect them to, I don't know, to understand you, to be patient. But at the time that they are getting older and older, And the older they get, the less patient they are. This is what I faced myself.
Right. Yeah. So in that, I'm saying there are ways to deal with it. Like, you can learn the skills.
There are. Right? But, you know, not all of the people are so much passionate about these sort of things to go and learn and
the problem is, okay, so
be educated.
The problem is if you don't learn those skills. And it could, by the way, I gave an example of an old parent. I give an example of my own kids.
Yeah.
If I don't learn those skills, I will cause a lot of harm to that relationship, right? Not only harm, our religion tells us, like, do not say oof to your old parents.
Yeah.
So it's not only just about you causing, you know, you're causing serious damage to your soul, to your afterlife, to your life. So you don't have there's no escape from learning, okay?
Yeah, I know.
It's
what
either
you
disaster
mean.
Or learning. Like, you get to pick one or the other.
The thing I'm trying to tell you is that sometimes you can go deeper in the problem and find the underlying reason. Mostly, the biggest part of the harm that the children specifically are done is the part that, for example, the mother is choosing a bad father. You know, when you are not that much attentive about the partner that you're choosing for the whole life.
No, you're talking about marriage.
Your wife, yeah, your marriage, it's going to be a disaster, you know. And well, so you are responsible for that at the first step. Then
well, that's
educate.
A different topic, I would say, in terms of picking spouse selection.
Yeah,
and you're right. That
has
been
an influence, for sure.
But I would say, let's say you're in a situation where you
cannot change your spouse.
You can't change or you can't change your parents,
you cannot change anything.
Like, we were talking about inheritance from our parents, and you cannot change that. You can maybe change your spouse, so you can pick the right spouse, but you don't get to pick your parents. Whatever you inherit from them, you're going to inherit, like, no matter what. That's the, as we would say in English, like, that's the cards you're dealt with.
Yeah.
Okay? And you get to play with them. So what we're saying is, if you want to play with these cards, whatever they are, it could be bad or good, learn the skills.
Yeah,
it'll help you no matter what. Even if you're in a good and amazing relationship, you can make it better.
Yeah.
Right? You can make it better. So I will not back off from the fact that if somebody says, hey, I don't have the time to learn or blah, blah, blah. No, I'm sorry. If you don't have the time, you're going to create even more problems for your life. It'll take up even more time of your life that you don't have to
get it.
And we do have to go for a quick break.
Okay.
And we'll be right back.
Talking about this crisis of parenting and so on, we get to this point that you have to raise your awareness and knowledge about this, how to deal with your parents, how to deal with your children, and so on. And another thing that comes to my mind is about the heritage that we're talking about.
Yeah.
And a big part of it is genetics, you know, which is a bit sad. Sometimes you see some people who are genetically disabled, and
right.
It really is difficult because they have nothing to do with this life, and they did nothing wrong, and they are born like that, and they cannot do anything about
and
it.
We have to keep in mind that, you know, this life and whatever we do inherit from our parents, whether it's good or bad, it's a test, right?
Yeah.
It's a test from God. And what you're talking about, if somebody has, by the way, no one is perfect, okay? No one has received perfect genes or genetics.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
And by the way, in a lot of, like, Western countries, they use this as an excuse, by the way, right? They'll say you can't control who you are because of your brain and what genes you've got. And, like, you know, they'll say, like, 80 or 90% of your life is out of your hands because that's not true, right? Yes, there's a lot of things that we've inherited through our genes, but through our choices that we make in our life, we can change that.
The thing that I really like about this mindset that you have to look at life as a test is that having an eye is a test, not having an eye is a test. For example, when you have a specific disease, it's a test itself. When you are healthy, it's a test again. Mm-hmm. And this is the beauty of blessings that we have. Having a blessing is a test, not having a blessing is a test. And it's the same for parenting and children and so on. If you have parents, then it's a test, and it's a blessing for you to, I don't know, to be kind to them.
Right.
Sometimes you have some minor problems, and after losing them, you will understand that, oh my God, it doesn't really matter to have some problems.
Oh, one other thing that comes to my mind in terms of what we inherited from our parents, which is extremely, extremely valuable, is values, right?
Yeah.
the values that we hold in our life and the way we behave is something that we get a lot from our parents, right? The values that I have today in terms of religion or the way I behave and interact with people, I would say that's one of the best things that my parents have given me in life.
And you are really kind of being lucky, you know what I mean? Because there are some people who are being damaged by these values that they have inherited from their families.
Right.
And we are so lucky that we were born in Muslim families and we have this religious background and so on. And unfortunately, there are some people who were born in different families with different principles and values. And it is really difficult for them to change their life, to change their mindset.
That reminds me of something that Imam Khomeini said.
Yeah.
He said that... he talked about parenting and, you know, raising children. He said there we have three type of parents, actually. There are those parents who are really worried about their children and how they're going to turn out. And, you know, they're worried about their life, how their behavior and all that. And he said there's other parents who are actually not very good. They're actually teaching their kids the wrong values, right? They're raising them on purpose and almost in the wrong way. And you might think, is that even possible? Unfortunately, it is. For example, if you're teaching your children, like, let's say a lot of Western values, you know, that are not good for you, that are against family or religious values, you're teaching them bad things. And he said then the third category are those parents who don't care, who've given up, who've left their children.
Yeah.
The world will.
Three groups.
Yeah, we can't, you know, they're too lazy. We can't do anything. What are we supposed to do? I can tell you this much, there's probably very rare cases where someone has taken only negative things from their parents.
And I think it's all up to you. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter that you have the best genetics ever, you have the best inheritance from your parents. At the end of the day, this is you who is the one that decides how to use it.
Right. And we have so many examples throughout history in our lives right now where people have overcome all sort of challenges that they have, right? So I think it has a lot to do with your willpower, about to do with what you want to do with your life and what choices you make that will ultimately decide what you've inherited from your parents as well.
Exactly.
Right? So yeah, I think that's all the time we have for this episode.
Unfortunately, again, the bitter end in the time of goodbyes.
All right. So everybody, take care. Hope you have a great day. Wa alaykum assalam.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I will tell you, dear youth, that the future belongs to you. By Allah's favor, you dear youth will see that day and you will hand down your sources of pride to the future generations. Greetings be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.
And inshallah, we will continue talking about
this. We'll discuss that inshallah in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum wa
rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And don't go away.
We will continue this very essential topic with our great youth.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Latif, 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 Allah.
Everyone has a beloved, a new dear friend. But I have you, my dear. May God protect you, my dear. May God protect you.
IRIB English Radio, for those who seek the truth.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Answering your doubts and questions, and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is Ar Rahman? Allah, who is Al Mannan? La ilaha illallah.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. You're welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am Atal, the host of this program. With me in the studio, we have Brother Suhail from the Islamic House of Qom to answer today's questions on Islamic beliefs. Assalamu alaikum, brother. Welcome to your show.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you for inviting me for this program.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Inshallah, 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 you'll find your way.
Okay, Brother Suhail, can you tell us a special dua or supplication to be away from sinning or committing sins? Is there any special dua or supplication?
Yeah, we do have a lot of duas in regards to repentance, for sinning, to stay away from sinning. But before that, let's see what can we do in regards to sinning. So here we want to talk about repentance and self-cleansing. They say that we have a narration from Amirul Mumineen alayhi salam that says, refraining from sin is easier, far easier than repenting after sinning. For a person who has not tested the sin can easily stay away from it than after sinning and repent. And whenever he starts remembering about the sin, he is like two-sided. He is ready to go and do again and come to repent. But if a person becomes contaminated after sinning, he should not be disappointed from God's blessing, because the path of spiritual migration, self-refinement, and ascent towards God Almighty remains forever open and is never closed. So if you have sinned, Allah has left the door open for you to come and repent. So Allah says that, O my slaves who have been prodigal to their own heart, despair not of the mercy of God, who forgiveth all sins. Lo, He is the forgiving, the merciful. So, why do we see there is a need for repentance? Do we need to repent or no? I don't imagine that there is something more essential for a sinner than repentance. The one who believes in God, prophet, resurrection, rewards and punishment, accounting of deeds, paradise and hell, does not contradict the urgency and necessity of repentance. Then how come are we negligent from repentance in spite of being knowledgeable about the self and the sins committed by us? Don't we believe in the existence of resurrection and others? Then how could we expect finding the path leading towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sitting in the company of His favorite saints in paradise with such contaminated, darkened and polluted self?
Yes.
Similarly, sins for human self are far more fatal than those most deadly poisoned for a human body. If a poison could threaten the worldly life of a person quickly, sinning could inflict the eternal doom upon himself and would result in the destruction of eternal life. Here we remember in regards to a hadith that when the Prophet was asked, how is my state in paradise, he said that you have a very big building in paradise. Then afterwards, he says that the building has fallen. I'm just narrating.
Yes.
He says that you do a lot of good deeds, but then afterwards go and do something that destroys your deeds in the hereafter. So beware of destruction of your own deeds by your own hands in the hereafter. Second is acceptance of repentance.
Yes.
What are the laws that are there for our repentance to be accepted? So here we say that if repentance is did offered correctly, it would receive divine acceptance, certainly, which is one of the most unique favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He has not created His servant for hell and its torture. Rather, has created us for paradise and eternal prosperity. And He says in the Holy Quran, and it is who accepteth repentance from his bondsmen and pardoneth the evil deeds and knoweth what you do. Imam Bakir alayhi salam says, after repenting, a person becomes like someone who has never sinned, and the one who is continuous sinning while reciting the phrase of repentance upon his tongue is like someone who ridicules himself. Then we say, what is repentance?
Mm-hmm.
Repentance could be defined as a feeling of being ashamed, sorry, and regretful for the past sins. Someone who is indeed ashamed by the heart for his past sin may be truly called a repentant.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Prophet said, feeling ashamed and being sorry for the past deeds is repentance.
Yeah.
You see, it's not like we need to bring that kalamat or the words of repentance that I am sorry. But this is one of the way to feel the repentance. To ask for repentance is feeling ashamed and being sorry of the sin. So we have some characteristics in these matters. Like it is truly that God Almighty accepts and forgives the past sin. But simply recital of the sentence, Astaghfirullah, being ashamed or regretful or even crying for the past sin may not be considered as sufficient for a pure and sincere repentance, but with the existence of the following three symptoms. One, he must be disgusted by his heart for the past sins. His self should have a feeling of shame, regret, and sorrow. Second, he must take firm decision not to indulge into sinning in the future.
IRIB English Radio presents Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Answering your theological questions in Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Send us your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
And third, if because of indulgence into a particular sin, he has done something which could be compensated, then he must take firm decision for his compensation. For example, if he owes dues, has used up properties, then he should make sure that this has been returned to the owner and come for the sinning. Sorry, the repentance. If he has committed backbite against someone, he should seek his pardon and so on and so forth. A person recite the sentence, I seek God's forgiveness in the presence of the commander of faithful. The imam said, may your mother lament for you. Do you not know what is repentance? The repentance can be defined with following six parameters.
Mm-hmm.
1. Feeling ashamed and regretful for the past sins. 2. Taking firm decisions for avoidance of sins forever. 3. Paying all the dues to the people so that when he meets God on the day of resurrection, he does not have any pending claim against him. 4. All the religious obligations, wajibat, which have not been performed in the last, should be discharged as makeup, qada obligations. 5. Should feel so sad about his past sin that all the bodily flesh formed as a result of eating forbidden haram should be melted in a manner that skin should touch the bone until new flesh is reformed again. 6. The inconvenience and hardship of worship should be imposed upon the body as a compensation for pleasures it fasted because of past sins. Only after performing all the above, you may recite the sentence, I seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
And things that require repentance are sins that are mentioned over here. One of them is moral sins. The examples of it are hypocrisy, wrath, arrogance, egotism, harshness, oppression, deceit, etc. 2 is practical sins. You see, usurping public property, eating haram foods and other things, which we have a riwayat that says, sometimes it happens that the darkness approaches my heart, and because of this reason, I offer my repentance 70 times a day. The Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, used to offer repentance 70 times a day while he had not committed any sins at all. So here, now I would like to say, in regards to the actual question, is there any special dua for the repentance?
So this has been the du'as after committing sins, isn't it, for istighfar?
So here we have talked about prevention and repentance.
Yes.
Prevention is better than repentance. As we say in the Western world, prevention is better than cure. Because for cure, you need to be sick and then to find cure. But if you can prevent yourself from being sick, that is more easier. So prevention is better than tawbah. But it doesn't mean that if you have sinned, the tawbah doors are closed for you. The tawbah doors are open, but with these conditions that have been stated. And here we have a dua called dua at-tawbah. This dua is taught by our fourth imam as is dua number 31 in Sahifa Sajjadiyah. The dua is a touching plea by one who acknowledges the enormity of the sins he has committed, the ones that we talked about. His hope lies only in mercy and forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Using Quranic concepts of repentance and its acceptance, Imam alayhi salam teaches us how to be sincere in seeking it. The dua reiterates the conditions of repentance, the physical signs present on a true repenter, the legitimate hope given to the one who truly seeks forgiveness. It is a beautifully elegant way of expressing the remorse and hope of a faithful believer who has sinned. There is nothing more beloved to Allah than a believer who is repentant, male or female. When describing those who repent, they planted the trees of their sins in front of their eyes and their hearts and watered them with water of regret. They gained the fruit of peace, followed by the pleasure of Allah and respect in his eyes. Imam Ali alayhi salam has stated that.
That's all right. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. So all in all, if someone commits a sin, because he must not lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is always the door of repentance back, isn't it?
Yes. So because when he loses hope, so first he has sinned. And when he loses hope, he has entered another phase of the sin. Losing hope is one of the greatest sins. So you have just committed another sin by losing hope from repentance by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the sins that you have committed.
That's right. Thank you very much, Brother Suhail, for your nice collaboration regarding this topic. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanat.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي حسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, December 10th, 2023. I'm Atefa Erfani, hosting this program today. As you may know, Listeners Special is the program which is broadcast on Sundays. This is a program where your views are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcasts. And if you have any message for our great listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. As I always say, Listeners Special is your program, dear listeners. It's your views that are important. Please keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome to this edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday of December. And, of course, we've received reception reports from you, dear listeners, from Ozren Radulovic from Bosnia and Herzegovina, and from Aruntio from the Philippines, one of our old and regular listeners. And also Anika Ann from India has sent us reception reports. And, of course, we've received plenty of letters and emails from around the world, which I mention some of your names here. And later during the program, I will read these emails. Alexei Kolakov from Russia has sent us a piece of email. From India, P.S. Sikar has sent us a piece of email. P.S. Sikar is one of our old and regular listeners. From France, we've received an email from Nicolas Perrin. And from India, we've received from Jayanta Chakrabarty, our old and regular listeners from India. Stay with us, please. I will be back with you. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and we start from an email from Alexei Kolakov from Russia. Alexei is one of our old and regular listeners who says, "Hello, IRIB English Radio. Thank you for your email. Few days ago, I was able to hear your station and sent a reception report on your broadcast. Hope to receive the electronic USL card with best wishes." First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Alexei Kolakov from Russia, many thanks for sending this email to IRIB English Radio and to listeners a special program. Please accept our EQSL or electronic QSL as verification to this email. Thank you for your attention. Alexei Kolakov from Russia, we wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And of course, we are ready to accept your views about our broadcast. Thank you. P.S. Sikar from India, one of our old and regular listeners, says, "Radio listening is one of my joyful hobbies, through which I can get information about particular nations directly from the radio waves. Please continue your selfless service to the world. Kindly send your latest program schedule and frequency guide. Thanks a lot." Salam and warm greetings to you, P.S. Sikar from India. And please accept our warm appreciations to you for writing to IRIB English Radio and Listeners a Special Program. Thank you. This was a good description. Radio listening is one of the hobbies through which you can get information about particular nations, and this time from Iran through IRIB English Radio. We are so glad that you were able to receive the signals of IRIB English Radio through the radio waves. So, thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And you can refer to our website at parstoday.ir/en to find the frequency guide and the program schedule. But please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation to this kind email. P.S. Sikar from India. Thank you very much. We wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Welcome back, dear listeners. Nicolas Perrin from France has sent us a piece of email. Nicolas says, "Hi, and thank you for your response to my email. I like to listen to your broadcasts and other radio stations from foreign. I can imagine how lively and authentic they are and how much efforts are behind them for producing. Thanks to all the staff. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, Nicolas Perrin from France. Many thanks for writing to us, to IRIB English Radio and listeners' special program. It's good to hear that you like the programs, and I wish you could tell us which program or programs you like the best. Maybe in your upcoming emails or letters, you could tell us your views about our programs. So please accept our EQSL or electronic QSL as confirmation to this email. Nicolas Perrin from France, write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. Welcome back. So here, we've received a long and detailed letter from Jayanta Chakrabarty from India. Jayanta Chakrabarty, as you may know, is one of our old and regular listeners. So let's see what Jayanta says. Dear IRIB, thank you for giving me an opportunity to express my mind. Being a faithful listener who has been associated with your radio station for a long time, I appreciate IRIB's bold and fearless initiatives to present the truth, and only the truth through its news, commentaries, and reviews. It's good to uphold freedom and peace in this troubled world that never fails to exploit the weak and powerless through misinformation and bigotry. I like IRIB English Radio's programs for their innovativeness, variety, and unique quality that are always presented in a friendly, easy-to-understand style. I would be happy to hear more of Iranian traditional folk and modern music. Talented Iranians have contributed to the world in various fields. I would like to hear more about them and their works, as well as programs on interaction with listeners. In spite of the advent of the internet and various multimedia portals, I still prefer the radio as it is the most popular means of communication. It is easily accessible, cheap, and has a mass social appeal. Its wavelength reaching the remotest rural area of a country having no electricity. Of all other media, radio is the most effective tool to prevent the truth effectually and foster mutual understanding for peace and prosperity in regions troubled by social tensions and ethnic discord. Despite the advent of internet, radio still plays a role of a powerful catalyst in tackling major world problems, tensions, and conflicts which are caused by egotism and misunderstanding between nations. We are fortunate to have among our midst international radio stations like the IRIB, which has the courage to speak the truth and present facts and events in their correct, perspective. Today, IRIB is the voice of a proud nation recovering its democratic values as a useful member in the Committee of Nations. A voice that is heard and appreciated across nations who cherish peace and freedom of expression. Wow. Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, first of all, salam and warmest greetings to you. Many, many thanks for writing to IRIB English Radio such a detailed and long email with your perfect and fluent English about what is happening at IRIB English Radio, our mindset, our works, what we produce, the news, the commentaries, the reviews, and what you think about it. And of course, the means of communication through radio waves.